Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 15. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by this well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had already gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." This is the word of our Lord. Now I know that I've only been living in Western New York for about 2 months now. But in that time, I have experienced a polar vortex on two occasions. I have experienced countless snowy days where the temperatures are never above freezing. I encountered a blizzard the other week, and it snowed on our first day of spring. All of which leaves me wondering and asking the question, do you all really experience summer up here? Some joke and say that summer makes its debut by mid-August when the lake thaws out, but I'm beginning to wonder if maybe there isn't a shred of truth in that sarcastic joke. I don't know if you all have ever experienced a heat wave before, where the temperatures are not only above freezing, but they are over 110 degrees. I can assure you that those do occur in other places in this world. I experienced them while living in Richmond. And you all may have heard the news programs last summer about the heat waves that were occurring on the West Coast, specifically in Arizona and New Mexico. It reached ridiculously high temperatures. Most of their summer days peaked at 110 degrees, and some of their days peaked at 120 degrees. It was so hot there that people were cracking eggs on the sidewalk to see if they would actually cook. And the old saying was not true. The eggs would not cook on the sidewalk. But there were so many people doing this that the news broadcasters were directing them to stop cracking eggs on the sidewalk because it was making such a mess throughout the cities. Now, even though these eggs didn't cook, it was still hot. Dangerously hot. And Matthew Galibersuch, who is the Methodist minister at the church right around the corner from here, which is the church we are partnering with for our youth program, he was out there for a conference during this time when one of those heat waves was occurring. Well, conferences anywhere are always long and they're indoors. So from about 8 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, you're sitting inside in a chair with fluorescent light and air conditioning beating down on you. There's minimal windows or any natural sunlight coming through. So when the conference ends, everyone always makes a mad dash for the door. And this conference was no different. As soon as the conference ended, Matt made a beeline for the door. So he got outside and he was enjoying the sunshine and the natural air. And he could see his hotel in the distance, maybe a mile or so down the road. So he decided that he was going to walk there. So Matt starts out on the sidewalk, and I think at first he's enjoying the sunshine radiating down onto him, probably for the first minute or so. And then he realizes that his skin is starting to tighten, and he can feel the moisture being sucked out of his skin. He becomes very aware that he is not carrying any water with him at this point. But he keeps walking, and it seems like his hotel is getting further and further away. Well, he reached a point where there was no more sidewalks. So now Matt is forced to walk in the street. And so this is a busy road on the way to his hotel. So at this point, he is journeying on a busy road in the middle of a heat wave towards this hotel that he can see in the horizon with no water. Cars flying by him, honking the horn, staring at him like, who is this crazy guy walking in the street during a heat wave? He kept walking. Well, Matt did reach his hotel, and he said as soon as he walked through the doors of this hotel, he walked through the sliding glass doors, and there in front of him were two huge ice chests full of free water. So, of course, he lunges at these coolers of water, and he starts drinking it and gulping it down. And when he did, he could feel it going down his throat. He could feel it going into his stomach. And as crazy as this sounds, he said that he could feel it going into his arms and his hands and his legs. He could feel it going everywhere as it was refreshing him and replenishing his body. Our Exodus reading this morning reminds me of Matt's story while he was out west with these hot temperatures with no water. However, in our Exodus reading, the Israelites were journeying for days. They had no water, they were cranky and crabby, they were arguing amongst themselves, and they were yelling at Moses for even bringing them up out of Egypt. And Moses reaches his breaking point and tells God to please provide water, which God does provide the water. Well, the Israelites in the Exodus reading were experiencing the same sort of physical thirst that Matt was experiencing. But it also denotes a spiritual thirst that was occurring, a spiritual thirst which can be likened to that of a physical thirst. As dehydration draws all of our physical being into a longing for water, so a spiritual void will draw all of our spirit into a longing with a deeper connection with God. We see the quest of this spiritual thirst fully expressed in our story this morning from John with the woman at the well. In this story, this woman is entangled in a situation, personally and in relation to the community, which she cannot solve or harmonize. She has no means to gain dignity or to gain a community for herself. She is, in every sense of the word, an outsider. She is a woman in a culture where women were often overlooked. But she's also a Samaritan woman, so she is a religious, political, and social outcast. She came to the well to get water to satisfy a physical thirst that was occurring. But what is ultimately portrayed here is the satisfying of a spiritual thirst. A spiritual thirst that only Jesus can provide a living water for, which satisfies and never runs out. We all have encountered our own type of physical thirst before, whether through physical exertion on a hot summer's day or by eating salty foods that leave us parched and chugging water. But we also encounter a type of spiritual thirst that is portrayed in this story. We have a void in our spiritual being when we feel disconnected from God, or when we experience a stagnation, which leaves us thirsting after God. We also encounter another type of spiritual thirst when we face the difficulties of life, when life has delivered us one of those tough experiences that knocks the wind out of us and that puts us on our knees. It's at that point that we cry out to God, much like Moses did, in need of water as we journey through life. It's in that desert wilderness of our lives that we understand the dryness of our soul on a whole new level. And we gain an increased understanding of the spiritual dimension of living and surviving in this world. When we sit in those deep pits of despair, helpless and hopeless, lost and confused, tired and beaten up, we realize that we are sitting at the well in just the same way that this Samaritan woman was. Now, we know that this passage reveals the doctrine of eternal life and that it points to our salvation through Jesus Christ. But the living water described in this passage also reveals a different quality of life that Jesus offers us. The living water described in this story is the living presence of God that shows up, that meets us where we are, and accepts us for who we are. And it gives us the nourishment that our souls need and long for. It's a quality of life where we find refreshment for our entire being and the sustenance to continue on our journey, however difficult it may be. What I would really like us to think about and explore this morning is where we encounter that water and how it gets into our being, into our minds, and into the inner depths of our soul. There are a couple places that we find this water and a couple ways that it gets into our soul. We discover it through our worship services on Sunday morning and our special services throughout the week. We encounter this living water through prayer, and we may even encounter it through our conversations and our interactions with others. I am quite certain that we encounter this living water during Christian education classes, which occur on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. But the most important and influential place that we encounter this living water and how it gets into our inner being is by engaging Scripture, by immersing ourselves in the living Word of God on a daily basis, not just on Sunday mornings when we read Scripture together as a collective community, but through engaging Scripture privately, on our own, in the confines of our own home, and on a daily basis. It is the living Word of God, which is our own personal water bottle, filled with the living water that our parched bodies need. It is through engaging Scripture that we uncover the truths about God and our faith that gives us the spiritual sustenance to continue on our journey through life and to face those difficulties. It is through engaging Scripture that we fill the void in our spiritual being. Are we experiencing that disconnection from God? Through our engagement with Scripture, we collide with the living presence of God, and it fully equips us for life's journey. As we heard about Matt's experience this morning out west, we heard a funny story that exemplifies how he was not prepared for those conditions out there. He was traveling around in a desert climate with no water, on a day where it was 120 degrees outside, with walking in the road with cars flying by him, honking and staring at him. The man is lucky that he made it to his hotel alive. But in just the same way, that is how we journey through life. We aren't fully equipped with what we need for that journey. We aren't prepared for the harsh conditions that life can and will throw at us. We aren't carrying the living water with us that ensures our souls don't become parched. And that is where we find our challenge and our invitation for this week's sermon during Lent. As I mentioned before, after every sermon during Lent, I will offer a suggestion or an invitation for you to incorporate into your daily lives. And it's geared towards discipleship. You all have the option to accept that invitation or not. But this week, I invite you all to spend some time engaging Scripture, reading the Word of God. Now, I know that might sound a little old school, but this is how we access the living water of God that our bodies so desperately need. By engaging Scripture, we are taking the time to equip our minds and our bodies with the sustenance that it needs in order to face the challenges that will arise in life. So I encourage you all to take the time this week and allow the living Word of God to fill you with the living water that will feed and satisfy your soul. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.